Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to turn with me to the book of 2 John, just before Revelation, 2 John, there is one chapter in this book. And this message, I believe and I hope, will be of some interest to you. 2 John 1, verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Whoever sins and abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, there are some facts that the Scriptures set forth that make an outline. A lot of times we stand up and preach messages based on an outline. And there are some truths, there are some facts in the Scripture that create an outline called TULIP. This outline is also known as the doctrines of grace. You may have heard people mention the term the doctrines of grace. What they're talking about is TULIP. T-U-L-I-P. TULIP. That is the outline of the Scripture. That is the outline that the Scripture sets forth. That's what God has declared in His Word. And this is what TULIP means. The T stands for total depravity. Total depravity. Mankind is totally depraved. Depraved means corrupted. That's what it means. It means wicked. It means ruined. It means sinful. Man is totally sinful. That's what this word declares. When we open the Scripture and read what it has to say about me and what it has to say about you, in our flesh, that's what it has to say. All of mankind is totally corrupted, totally sinful. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Totally ruined, ruined. Not one speck of good left. The Scripture says, no, not one. Totally ruined, all right? That's the T. The U stands for unconditional election. God elected. That means God chose. When you go to vote in an election, you are choosing. You're making your choice. Well, God chose some people to save from total ruin. All were headed to total ruin. All were totally ruined. Headed to eternal destruction. But God chose to save some from total ruin. They all came from the same lump. They were all exactly the same. Therefore, this election to salvation was unconditional on our part. That's what the Scripture sets forth. All come from Adam. In Adam, all die. We were all the same. What sets one man apart from another? Nothing. Not in the flesh. But God chose some to save, and because all were equally ruined, that's what made it to be an unconditional election on the part of the sinner. There was no condition about us. Nothing stood out. No condition laid on us. No condition that influenced the election. God just chose who He chose. That's what the Scripture declares. All right, so T is total depravity. U is unconditional election, and the L stands for limited atonement. Limited atonement. This is what atonement means. The word atonement means covering. Atonement means payment. Atonement means redemption. Payment made in full. Not one drop of Christ's blood that He shed was wasted. Not one drop. Not one drop. Every soul that He died for is saved. Every soul He died for, that's what the Scripture says. Every soul He died for is saved. Now, if Christ died for everybody, which is what a lot of men will stand up in pulpits and say to people, now Christ died for everybody, that's not in the Scripture. That's not in the Word of God. That is not what God's Word declares. And think about it. If Christ died for everybody, then not one soul would ever be sent to hell. If Christ died for everybody, if His blood was shed to pay for all sin, and all sin was put away, all sin was redeemed, then not one soul would be sent to hell. If Christ died for every man and woman's sin, then no man and no woman would die in their sin. It would be gone. It would be completely gone. But this is what the Scripture is very clear about. Many have been damned to this place that God calls hell. Many have been damned to go there. Therefore, we know, and the Scriptures declare, that the atonement that Christ made, that covering, that redemption that Christ made, the payment Christ made, was for His people only. It was only for the totally ruined sinners that God the Father unconditionally chose to save. That's who it was for. Christ died for a particular people. It was a particular redemption. Thankfully, it was a redemption that spanned the whole world. It wasn't just the Jews. It was Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond, free, out of the whole world. Every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue. That's wonderful. So, we have total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement. Now the letter I stands for irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. Totally depraved sinners. If a sinner is truly depraved, totally depraved, totally depraved sinners do not want grace. They reject grace. Totally wicked sinners are not interested in the kind favor of God. Not at all. Totally ruined sinners who feed on darkness. They feed on evil. They feed on sin. The flesh naturally loves sin. It soaks it up. And the flesh therefore rejects the goodness of God. But thank God, His people don't have a say in the matter. If they had a say in the matter, they would reject Him every time. John chapter 1 says, our Lord came to His own, and His own received Him not. But all of His people don't have a say in the matter. Thank God we did not have a say in the matter. That's the good news of the gospel. Whoever God chooses to give the gift of salvation to, it is coming. Salvation is coming. If God chose to give it, then it's coming. And it will not be rejected. It will not be rejected by the recipient for two reasons. Number one, it's because God is the one who is sending it. God is the one who's giving it. And the Scripture says, no one and no thing is able to stop His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? No one is able to do that, and nothing is able to do that. This is God. men stand up in pulpits and they tell people, now he's knocking, he's trying, but you're going to have to take it from him. You're going to have to open the door to your heart. And you're going to have to. That's not so. God is God. God is not trying to be God. God is God. And if God says salvation's coming, salvation's coming. So that's the first reason. God is the one giving it. And that's a big problem for man today, is he does not believe that God is God, but God is God. All right, now the second reason is, with the gift of salvation, when God Almighty gives salvation, with that gift, with the gift of redemption, comes a brand new everything. Once a sinner is redeemed, saved, quickened, he gets a brand new everything. He gets a brand new life. He goes from death to life. He gets a brand new heart. The Lord said, I'm going to take out that stony, hard heart, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh, a real, living, loving heart. It's actually the heart of Christ himself, Christ in his people. That's the hope of glory. They get a brand new mind. It's called repentance. Repentance means a changed mind. They get a brand new will. He said, my people will be willing in the day of my power. And they get a brand new love. A brand new love. A love for God. When he comes, for the first time, they truly love God. They get a brand new need and a brand new desire. Before, they desired the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of sin. And after salvation comes and redemption comes, all of a sudden they start desiring mercy. They start desiring grace. They start desiring Christ. When salvation comes to a sinner, that sinner starts craving the things of God. Craving the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he brings, that mercy, that grace, that love. So it's irresistible to him or her. To say that it's irresistible grace means God is giving it and we cannot reject it. It's irresistible. But once it comes, it is so irresistible. It is so needful and loving and desirable to God's people. So we have total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and then the last one in TULIP, the P stands for perseverance of the saints. Perseverance means all the way to the end. That's what the scripture declares. It means whatever God starts, God finishes. Men stand up and tell people, now you better watch it. You're going to lose your salvation. That's not so. Not if God saved you. Not if God started the work. Whatever God starts, God finishes. God does not start the work of salvation and then leave it in the hands of the sinner to finish it. Never does he do that. All right, now I just told you that that's what the scripture says. That's the outline the scripture gives. Let me show it to you. All right, let me prove that to you in the Word. If we have received salvation from God, if I have received salvation from God, and if you have received salvation from God, then this is what He will cause us to believe in our hearts. This is what He will cause us to see in His Word. This is what every quickened child of God is adamantly convinced of. Number one, I'm a sinner. All right, if God has quickened us to life, if God has brought salvation and brought redemption, this will be the first thing that you will be convinced of and the first thing I will be convinced of. I'm a sinner. I know there's a lot of sinners out there. I know that. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief. I am the chief. I am. I'm a sinner. Turn with me over to Job chapter 42. If you have your Bible there, you can look with me at Job 42. God has just dealt very harshly with Job. And this is Job's response to him. Job 42, verse 5. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And haven't all men and women? But Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I see you for who you truly are. Wherefore I abhor myself. I hate myself. And repent in dust and ashes. He said, I'm a sinner before you, and I'm so sorry. I have a changed mind on who I am and what I'm able to do before you. Oh, I'm so sorry. If you want to look at Psalm 51, this is David. He said in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. This is David, the man after God's own heart. He said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Whatever you do with me, you're right in doing so. He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, that's all I am. Sin. I was made in sin, created in sin. Over in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did cry. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said Isaiah, woe is me. For I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen the King. Is that all, Isaiah? You're just a man of unclean lips? He said in chapter 1, verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's all I am. In my flesh, I am totally ruined. Totally ruined. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. He said in 1 Timothy 1, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief. Every child of God will say this. Every quickened child of God will say this. Here's the second thing that a quickened child of God will be adamantly convinced of. God did all the choosing. God chose me in spite of me. Not because of me, in spite of me. I would not come to him that I might have life. I would not. If you look at John chapter 3, it says in John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's what they chose. That's what man chose. I know that this flesh is naturally drawn to the things of sin. I know it is. I know that this flesh loves darkness. I know that the deeds of this flesh are evil. I believe you do too. Therefore, had he not chosen me, and had he not chosen you, neither one of us would have ever chosen him. Neither one of us. My only hope starts with his unconditional election of me. That's the only hope that any sinner has before God. In Romans chapter 9, before I read this to you, I'll tell you a little story here. There was a a lady who came up to an old preacher one time, and she said to him, "You preach that election, don't you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Why do you preach that? Why do you believe that? I don't think I can go along with that. I just don't think I can see that." And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He said, "Who saved you? Did God save you or did you save yourself?" And she said, "God saved me." He said, "Okay, well, did he do it on purpose or was it an accident?" She said, "He did it on purpose." He said, "Honey, that's election. God saving whom he will on purpose." All right, now look at Romans 9, verse 11. It says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, not of man's works, but of him that calleth." Verse 23 says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." He before prepared them unto glory. That's election. That's election. God choosing who he would save on purpose. Everything is according to his purpose. All right, this is the heart. This is the confession of a truly enlightened child of God. "I'm a sinner. God did all the choosing. God saved me in spite of me. And my only hope, number three, my only hope, all of my redemption is in the fact that Christ laid down his life for me." For me, his payment was a particular payment. I see that. I see that he died for a particular people, and my only hope is that he died for me. Now look with me at John chapter 17. John 17, verse 9, the Lord said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou," he's praying to his Father, "for them which thou hast given to me, for they are thine." Do we see that? Christ did not come to make intercession to God the Father for the entire world. He said so himself in his own prayer to his Father. He did not lay down his life for the entire world. He laid down his life for the souls that his Father gave to him out of the world. Not to the Jews only, but also to the Greeks, the whole world. They're known as his sheep. They are all known as his sheep. He said in John 10, verse 14, "I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 24, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." That's the reason why. Christ died for the elect. He died for the elect, and a quickened child of God sees that and is given a heart to believe that. That has been revealed to him. And he's convinced of it. All of his hope of salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows that Christ died for a particular people, and his one desire is to be one of them. He said right here in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me." They follow me. So this is what a child of God will say in his heart. "I'm a sinner. God did all the choosing. My only hope is that the Father gave me to Christ and he laid down his life for me. So I come to him. I'm coming to him. There's nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to go." He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what he said, so I'm coming to him. Psalm 42, this is a wonderful psalm. It says, as the hart, as the deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's irresistible grace. That's what it is, irresistible grace. A heart that has received grace cries, I must have him. So I'm a sinner. God did all the choosing. My only hope is that the blood of Christ was shed for me. So I'm coming to him. Number five, I'm coming because in him I am eternally safe. That's what a child of God will believe in his heart. In Christ I am kept by the power of God. Every soul in Christ is being and will forever be kept by the power of God. And every quickened soul in Christ will rest in that promise. Every soul will rest. Every soul is persuaded and rests on this right here. Okay, go with me to this last verse of Scripture. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Wonderful verse of Scripture. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God started it, God will finish it. That's what it means. He will finish it all the way to the end. He will finish it until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ returns and gathers all of his people to himself. So we rest right there. That is the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. And may God give that doctrine to us and convince our hearts of it. May we truly, truly believe that Christ is all. Till next week, I pray the Lord will bless this word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace. Thank you.